Hey, I'm Chris Allison, the director of the Grill Center, and this is June 11th, 2022. I'm with
Mary Farmer, class of 1971, history major.
Wonderful.
And I think the first thing that I would say is that attending Rosary changed my life. It had a lot to do with making me the person that I still am today at age 73. So I'll talk a bit personally about what it was like to come here and to meet the Dominican nuns. We obviously had lay teachers as well, but I dare say that the Dominican nuns who were here at that time had a great impact on all of us as young women. And we all came from, at that point, there were a lot of young women who attended the school who did not live on campus. And we referred to those friends of ours and fellow students as commuters. And then the group of us who was lucky enough to have the resources to actually live on campus were from varied backgrounds. I would say mostly Catholic, educated in Catholic institutions, and different class backgrounds and experiences, for sure. Although at that time, there was very little self-knowledge or self-reflection about class, for instance. I came from a co-institutional high school, which means that it had men and women, but we were not in class together, which for me was a real opportunity to gain more self-confidence and be able to speak up in class. I needed that space. And I was very aware of that. And so when I set about trying to choose for myself where I might like to go to college, that was an important consideration for me. The experience of being here had a lot to do with me becoming a more vocal leader, a better student, a better writer, a better organizer, a better thinker. And that, in large part, was due to my classmates. I was part of an extraordinary class of women. And I'll just name a few, and I'm sure I'll leave out a few. Some of the professors that I had changed me. Sister Alberta Magnus is the first that I would I would say.
It's come up a lot today.
She was I don't even know that she was the chair of the history department when I was here, but she was a force of nature, and she was had extremely high standards for her students in terms of their discipline, doing their work, and quality of the writing that we turned in. And in the course of 4 years, I was certainly not able to live up to most of those standards my freshman year. I had to just work to keep my head above water. She was not mean or impatient, but she also wasn't going to alter her standards. And I learned a lot from her about being a person, and primarily a thinker, and I learned a lot of history from her. Sister Thomasine taught me economics. Economics was my minor, and a completely different personality, but again, same generation as Sister Albertus Magnus, but a different kind of personality. With her also, I just learned so much about how the world works, from money and or financial and financial policy perspective, and it was fun. So I truly enjoyed my classes with her. And again, I looked up to both of them as role models. I had many, many other good teachers. Sister Fredericus taught me philosophy and encouraged us to figure out our own process for thinking things through. It's not anything that I had ever experienced before in my life. And it was a very important, informative exposure to her. And I also felt empowered to take leadership. So I was a sophomore, class president, senior class president, and a key person just in organizing our class. Mm-hmm. And my college experience is settled in the time period that included the Vietnam War. The work and assassination of Martin Luther King. And perhaps the very beginnings of the second wave of feminism.
Yeah, right.
So there was a lot going on. And I took a break my junior year. There was the opportunity back then for three or four history or political science majors to go and study for a year at Georgetown University. So I took that opportunity along with two of my classmates. And that too changed the trajectory of my life. I'm still in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you really?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So why I wanted to do that was I was interested in seeing another city. But when I looked at the catalog of classes that I might be able to choose from, I mean, Georgetown is just a much larger institution. It's not better, but it's a much larger institution. So I was able to take some econ classes and some classes, particularly in American history, which was my favorite, that I just wouldn't have access to at Rosary. So that was wonderful from the student perspective and from a social and political perspective. That was the year of the invasion of Cambodia, the killing of students at Kent State, and the big anti-war mob. And so there were teach-ins and protests, and seemed like 24/7 learning. And I made a lot of friends among the young men at Georgetown, and that was great also. And then I returned to Rosary for my senior year. And this just occurred to me. I don't know if it was our senior year, I think it probably was, that we convinced the administration to let us, I think what we did was take the month off that we had between Christmas and the beginning of the winter term to do a big, a teach-in. So we organized that and worked and studied together on issues of the day. Now, that's my recollection of it. It just occurred to me that we had done that earlier today. I remembered it. So my life opened up coming here from thinking, intellectual, social perspective. I made lots of friends, and we worked together. And that was, I learned how to write, to really write. I did not know how to write. And I learned how to organize my notes and some very basic things that I did not know how to do when I got here. Many, many of my fellow students were way ahead of me in that regard. But I learned those things here, and it was a very important thing. I also learned to speak up, because this was a school really by, for, and about women. And for some of us, that is a critical component for our development. Not all young women, true, but for some. And for me, that was true. I have not spoken about this particular issue, but I think it's time. the Dominicans, in my opinion, were liberally educated. My recollection is that many of them were educated in big state institutions that were the best places for their field of study. So they were worldly in a way that the nuns who taught me as a younger woman were not.
Interesting.
And that was really helpful to have their perspective, which was also some shaped by being out in the world more. And still a very Catholic institution, but there was that added whatever experience. And what we did not scratch the surface of much, there was the beginning discussions of feminism. And I mean, we actually were speaking up and organizing and writing about and whatever as young feminists, even if we didn't know it.
Right.
And certainly many of the nuns, they may not have called themselves feminists, but they were. But what we didn't have was any recognition of or analysis of lesbianism.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed some help there.
Great.
And there was none.
Good.
Everything needed to be closeted. And again, all of it was beneath the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion of any kind of gender identification or sexuality.
Sure.
Bisexuality was not discussed. Either from a historical or, I don't know what to say, a literary perspective, or just the nuts and bolts of what the beginnings or the further development of those movements. And that's too bad. And it was very hard on me personally. Very hard on me personally. I doubt that I was the only one. And I have held my tongue for all these years, just in terms of acknowledging my struggles and pointing out that it would have been good to have even pastoral counseling, but anything available to those of us who were struggling with that piece of ourselves.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what the situation is on campus these days. I believe there's some sort of gay and lesbian and questioning and organization, and I assume that means people can be out.
Mm-hmm.
I would say so, yeah. With no fear of reprisal. That was not my experience.
Yeah.
And like I said, that was difficult. And I, for instance, I think it drove a wedge between me and my alma mater, a place that I truly loved.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't be me.
Mm-hmm.
More toward the second half of my college career here. Mm-hmm. And it left a very bad taste in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I had no one to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made me wonder, question somewhat the value of my experience here, because that was such a glaring deficiency. And I did move back to Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
Came out very shortly thereafter.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, in the arms of one of the biggest, most vocal lesbian feminist community in the country at that time. And that's where I was nurtured on that particular, educated,
mm-hmm.
did struggle around my own sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So there should have been support. And there maybe should have been support for other particular things, issues that people were having. I mean, I don't know that there was any support for young women who had issues with depression.
Right.
That's another thing I can think of, pretty broad.
Mm-hmm.
I point that out. I am entirely grateful for my education as a student, a thinker, a person, a woman. But that is a glaring lack. I didn't feel like it was safe to talk about to my peers, to any of my teachers or counselors.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that accurately reflects the Catholic Church's teaching at that time, and I understand that. But this place was more complex and encompassing than the institution of the church.
Yeah, which goes back to what you were saying about worldliness of the women who had taught here have been out in the world. I don't mean worldly in negative.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
But
yeah, that's what I mean by do something positive.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just nuns in class with them,
right.
Or just other women,
mm-hmm.
Having teachers who had, more out there ideas when whatever their subject matter is. That's my assumption of their education,
mm-hmm.
And it didn't carry through.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that thinking of all of the young people who passed through after me, who were in the same category, and hoping that now there is some real dialogue and ability for people to coalesce,
mm-hmm.
in whatever ways they want, and have someone to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I, from what I understand, I watch this place.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Good.
And It looks to me like there are many young Latinas and Latinos who attend, whose parents are most likely strict Catholic, as were mine, and so they have nowhere to go often as well, even in times that quote unquote are more liberal. So that is important to me. And that is important to me. And that is my message. The other thing, I don't know where we are in terms of time, I don't want to run over. What I was going to say is, and a couple people mentioned it today, was talking about the divide between commuters and the residential students.
We talked about that earlier with several people.
Yeah, yes, and we failed. I mean, I was one of the leaders of our class, okay? And so I didn't think about it. Mm. We didn't talk about it. And so I'm not blaming us, but there was a real loss then of possible connection and relation. And so I hope that something, tangible and direct is being done to address any of that. I don't know if there is, but I hope that there is, because that does not contribute to making the student body a complete community. Some people feel less than.
They're just flying in, flying out.
Right.
Yep.
Don't want to take up too much space. You know, that's the message.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and I wish I had, I know it's an ongoing issue across higher education. And I've only been here for 2 years, and I've been teaching during COVID, so it's not normal. But I agree with you. I think it's a serious challenge that we shouldn't be, I feel like commuters shouldn't feel like they have a lesser than college experience because of commuters.
Right. That they're less any part of this college community.
Right. We're less connected to people coming to.
Right.
You talk about your friends that you made. I mean, that's huge about my COVID experience. Can I ask, thank you so much for sharing all that, especially about, sexuality issues in the 70s here and so forth. One question I have as a follow-up is, if you had turned to somebody, counselor, minister, or whatever, and said, hey, this is where I'm at, can I talk to you about it? What do you think would have happened? You mentioned you were scared of that, you probably thought about it at the time a little bit about, what are the ramifications?
I don't think it would have been well received.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would then have been watched.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Or surveillance somehow.
Right. I don't think I would have gotten any help. I'm just trying to do a scan. I mean, there are several of my teachers that it would have just been out of the question.
Really?
Yes, so out of the question. And others, I think that they would have felt they couldn't act or support because of their position here in school.
Sure. Yeah.
That homosexuality was a sin.
Yep.
Was against the church's teachings, and so, no.
Yeah, sure. Even if you found a sympathetic ear, as a virtue of their position at the university, you felt like they would not be able to really engage with that very much.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Maybe I would have gotten one hearing, and I don't know what I would have gotten. A there.
Okay. Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry you're struggling with this, but I can't help you. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
After you graduated, how did that you don't have to answer this, this is too personal, but I'm just curious about, you know, how did you, you talked about being in BC and being in this really strong kind of lesbian community. Was that immediately after graduation? Or was
well, I went literally the day after I graduated. I borrowed my father's car and drove out there.
Yeah.
I lived out in the burbs because that's all I could afford for a couple of years. And I would see, there. I saw certain things. I saw women from off our backs, the very old and trusted feminist newspaper. And I don't know if I ever had the guts to buy one, but I probably did. And there was no gay bookstore then. There was no women's bookstore, like a feminist bookstore. There was a, what they have called it back then? I don't know, a progressive bookstore maybe, that had the forward-thinking people, the earliest feminists,
sure.
Marxists, socialists. I don't know if there was any specifically writing about sexuality, but and periodicals, and I stumbled upon it, and that's where I got some of my first reading material that helped me along. Like I got The First Sex there, and Dialectic of Sex, and
you jump right in
stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, which just like practically made my head spin, my you know, on top of my shoulders, and I then just completely fortuitously, now this didn't happen, this happened probably about, I got to the bookstores maybe a year and a half after I got there and was spending more time in the city. Mm-hmm. And then probably at about the 2 year mark, maybe a little earlier, I was a big jock. I mean, that was the other thing that was disappointing, was that there was no opportunity here. I was a really good basketball player, and all we could do was play women's rules basketball, and I don't know that we really had a team and whatever, but that's less problematic.
Yes.
It would have been better if it had been something else, but I called Adult Sports in Washington, D.C., which was the D.C. Recreation Department. They had a whole, they still do, but they had a whole incredible adult sports program for men and women, year-round. Basketball and fast-pitch softball, predominantly. Real games, real umpires, real competition. I called to see if somebody might have a spot on their basketball team for me. And I ended up on the biggest dyke team that you could, just by the luck of the draw.
Yeah.
Those women were the Women of the Furies Collective. I don't know if you know what that is. Okay, that's who I landed in the middle of. And then off I went. Yeah, they educated me. They teased me, and then they educated me. And then I took over the feminist bookstore for 20 years. That's what I did. I'd still be there if I could make a living.
Yeah.
I would.
But
there's a very fine one still alive in this city.
Yes, there is. There is. But to your point, I mean, that was such a crucial community center to have those bookstores available for people who are thinking about alternative, you know, or thinking of it as whatever.
You
know.
Right.
Anti-war, sexuality
issues.
Right.
Economics, abortion, child care, all of it.
Yeah. That's great. Well, thank you for sharing all that. Is there any kind of other final parting things you want to leave to our record, historical record? You did a lot.
Well,
so,
I'm very grateful and appreciative for my education here.
Yeah.
Period. There are some changes. I wish a few things have been different.
Mm-hmm.
I hope things have changed now. If they're not, I hope they will. I am grateful for my education. It had a lot to do with the woman I am today and the things that I've done in my life.
Thanks very much. Very much appreciated.
You got a card?
I do, actually. Yeah.